Take me to your artists.
Hello, Podience! Welcome to this here episode number 6 of a little thing I like to call the Activist Podcast. How's you doing? How's you doing? I'm doing well, thank you very much. On this week's episode, I went and I saw a couple of shows. I'm going to try and give some constructive feedback on what I saw. I'm going to talk about the soul-crushing feeling of defeat, as well as an update on the rehearsal process of Breaking Up is Hard to Do, and the show that I'm in. Well, that's a little hard to explain, but I'll give you an explanation about all that. And as usual, we've got the things to do and places to be towards the end. So let's get started, shall we? Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for tuning in and spending some time with me. For those of you who don't already know, my name is Jerry, and I host this little show about some of what the Bay Area arts scene offers. To all the first-time listeners, I welcome you, and for the regulars, your support means the world to me. Before I go into anything arty, I have to share with you this little story. As I've probably mentioned a million times, with a million times more to come, I have an acute case of the crazies. Or as I like to call it, la madness. Spanish for the madness. Thank you, thank you. I'll be here all week. But back to my story. Oh, before I begin, I have to make sure you understand this. I'm sure you all know this trick that's used in older movies or newer bad B movies. The one where it looks like there's an oncoming car aimed directly for you, but it turns out that it's two motorcycles that just zip right by. Yeah, that one. Well, keep that illusion in mind as I fascinate you with my tale. Are you ready? Well, a few nights ago, as I got home, I looked up at the night sky, as I do. Often. Perhaps a little too much. But I digress. I think the night sky is incredibly stunning. I like to see if I could spot planets without having to haul out my telescope. Although, it has been a while since I've used that wonderful gift. I once used it at the old apartment that I used to live in, but I kind of felt like someone would mistake me for a peeping Tom because I was on the second floor and I put it on the front door balcony. So it kind of looked like I was trying to look into other people's apartments, which wasn't the case. It was a clear, crisp, dark, dark night, and exceptionally still. And while I was crossing the street, I had to shift my messenger bag higher onto my shoulder, and then I happened to have caught movement. I completely froze, and I focused on the little point of light up in the sky. Then I noticed a few inches from that light directly across was another light, and it was moving as well. I tried so hard to focus on what I was seeing, especially the middle, whatever was in between those two lights. But the sky was so, so dark. As I stood frozen in the middle of the street, my heartbeat seemed to be saying, "Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god." And I swear to you on my tap shoes that I wasn't sure if I should duck, almost as though whatever was coming my way would fly right over me, or if I should run as fast as I could to the house. After a good 3 seconds, which actually seemed like it was 20, I realized that it was two planes that were flying away from one another and expanding the distance between them, not something that was heading towards me, seemingly becoming larger as it does. Ooh-wee, I tell ya. I ended up running home anyway after a wave of the creepies crawled all over me. A few nights after that whole incident, I did come across these three programs that were on the History Channel section of the on-demand menu on cable, and they were fascinating. It was called Ancient Aliens, and if, like I do, you enjoy a good extraterrestrial story, I highly, highly recommend them. They are chock full of crazy theory and such, and really get you to think about what they're saying. So let's take a break from this insanity and listen to a song.
I saw a light the other night. It sure was big, it sure was bright. It knocked me out, it was out of sight. Sure hope it comes back again tonight. They said it was from outer space, from some far off and freaky place. I'm telling you now face to face, it disappeared without a trace. And if I saw a spaceship, could I tell you so? If you thought I'd gone bananas, would you let me know? Cause I'm stuck here on this planet and I got no place to go. And now you say I've gone insane. Some bad ideas got in my brain. Tell you something, Jane. There's more to life than meets the eye, way off beyond the earth and sky. Should I call the FBI? Or would they think it was a lie? And if I saw a spaceship, could I hitch a ride? Would it take me all the way to the other side? Cause I can't get off this planet.
Special thank you goes out to the PodSafe Music Network for that song. It was called Spaceship by the artist Scott Albert Johnson. And now, as promised, the agony of defeat. I've always been a longtime fan of video games, especially the adventure games. Those have always been my favorite. Things like Super Mario Brothers, The Prince of Persia, Devil May Cry, things like that where you actually fight something and kind of continue on a progressive story. And I know this may come back to bite me, but Buffy the Vampire Slayer had a couple of awesome video games as well. Yes, I did say Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so there. Now, mind you, I did love the adventure games. However, I was not above playing Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter or things of that nature. However, I was not very good at those. And I don't usually tend to buy those games for my, you know, Xbox. When I signed on for Facebook, I never imagined that there would be any sort of gaming that I would be interested in. And then I find Superhero City. Can we say addiction? For me, it feels like, oh gosh, I know this is going to sound awful, but instead of drinking a beer, like having a shot. So it's like a shot of video games for me. So instead of sitting at my, you know, whatever console and playing for hours and hours and hours on end, I just log on to Facebook, get my 10-15 minutes in there of, you know, crime fighting and little mission accomplishments, and then I'm done and I'm good, and I don't have to worry about, you know, wasting my entire day at the TV playing video games. And it's quite nice. I bet you're probably thinking, what on earth is this fool talking about? Well, let me tell you what I'm talking about. In Super Hero City, you level up, you train your hero to become better than what he was when you got him. And at times, I swear that I've leveled him up as much as I could, and I've, you know, bought his new powers and upgraded him and all sorts of cool things, only to be beaten by someone else who has actually trained harder. Or their creators spent money on building, you know, this unique character of theirs. Now you might ask, where in the world is this fool going with this? Let me tell you. Over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, the Bay Area seems to have had their audition season. A lot of the local companies have had general auditions for their entire year. And if not for their year, then at least for multiple productions in their year. Now, just like Super Hero City, I took time to practice, learn, you know, get back in touch with myself and my habits of what I do to prepare. But like Super Hero City, there is always someone more prepared. So even though you do your research and look at all the stats on the foe that you're fighting, sometimes they tend to have a little ace up their sleeve and you don't win the match. And just like auditions, got through several rounds. However, a lot of other much better qualified people have gotten parts that I would love to play. Maybe now is not the time for me to play them. Shucks. So, to all the people who recently got cast in parts, then I wish you the best of luck, and I cannot wait to see what you're gonna do. And I look forward to, I guess, my next round of auditions, wherever and whenever they may be. On that note, I'd like to play you guys a little song. But not before I invite anybody who's on Facebook to join me in Super Hero City, because A, it's fun, and B, I could use more people on my team. So with that little plea out of the way, and because I want to see you people turn it out, I feel this one's appropriate.
and I'm looking too fierce. My hair's melted, my gown is rinsed, honey. My pumps are broken, my lashes are falling off my face. My nails are cracking because I was frying some chicken and lost my nails in the chicken pot. My mascara is dripping all down my face. I'm tired, honey, but let me tell you something. This thing will carry on because I'm a true diva. So don't you even go there with me. Just stay where you are and turn it out.
That was for all you fierce divas who sang like nobody's business at auditions and got yourselves some parts. Congrats. So, I saw a pair of shows over the last few days, and I'd like to share with you just a few of my observations. While both of them were very fun and very entertaining, there were a few little tweaks that I think could have been made that would have made the productions a little more effective. The first show I'd like to talk about is Taming of the Shrew, that was presented by Arclight Repertory Theater. This was, like I said, a very enjoyable show, partially because it's a Shakespeare script and you can't really go wrong with Shakespeare. The play was actually set in the 1950s. I was struck by the parallels between 1950s masculine-dominated world and the time of Shakespeare, how they are so similar and how they line up so very well. So it only made sense for it to be done in the 50s. I don't think it would have worked in any other decade. In the director's notes on the program, Kristen Clifford actually outlines a lot of the similarities. I don't want to read you the whole thing, but one of the paragraphs that struck me the most was, quote, "What can The Taming of the Shrew say to a modern audience? I think it can say that sometimes our ideas about love, courting, and marriage can be pretty silly, and even downright wrong. That all the absurdity in our treatment of each other arises out of our deep need to love and be loved, our need to find happiness. There is truth in the comedy. I believe this play hits very close to reality, albeit in a broad sitcom style, because it is about the pursuit of happiness, a pursuit that has remained constant since before Shakespeare's time. Even though it was written 420 years ago, we can relate to the hilarity of their actions because ultimately we are all looking for the same thing." End quote. Nearly everything about the show was spot on. The only suggestions that I have for this production is, first, double-check projection and enunciation. There were a few times when different actors were facing other areas of the theater, and I could not hear a single word that was being said, so there were chunks of monologues that I was completely missing due to that fact. But that's an easy fix, as is my other observation. Sometimes the transitions between the scenes was a little wonky, and by wonky I mean there were items that were falling over, there were a lot of distractions that took you out of the play, and granted, while I understand that it's a comedy, I don't believe you want the audience smirking or laughing at the crew as they're doing these transitions. The other observation that I had, and this one was just about the construction of one of the doors that they use several times that happens to switch places. When they close that door, I swear it looks like it's gonna fall over on one of the actors when they slam it shut. So that made me a little nervous as well. But other than that, everything was great. I enjoyed myself immensely, what I could hear, and I could hear about 90% of it, so I'm okay with that. And besides, I know the show already, so it's a lot of fun. I highly suggest you check it out, since this weekend is closing weekend. Also, I got a really good review in the San Jose Mercury News, The Eye, so I'll post a link to that review on the website. The other show that I was lucky enough to catch was Hello Dolly, brought to you by South Bay Musical Theater. Hello Dolly is not a show that because I'm not a fan of the older musicals, but a script that is pretty funny and some music that's quite catchy makes for a great evening of entertainment. With it being a C. Michael Traw directed show, I was pretty certain that the costumes would be fantastic, and they did not disappoint. They were incredible. The hats were stunning and gorgeous. I bet you'd be able to sell those at Nordstrom. The colors were so lush and vibrant for most of the costumes that you just wanted to touch them all, just to feel if it was like expensive fabric. One scene that I did stop and go, huh, about was the parade when Dolly sings Before the Parade Passes By. That's one of my favorite songs in the show. So needless to say, I was very excited when they got to that point of the show. When the actual parade came out, at first I was, okay, this is cool. A few of the main characters were in suits and a couple of gowns. The first group of people in the ensemble that came out, I believe if I remember this properly, were in a band-type uniform, like a marching band-type uniform. Not quite Music Man style, but very close. The next group of people that I saw were in black pants and shiny shirts. The one that sticks out is gold, is like a gold lame or something. And to complete the ensemble, if you will, there were sequined berets, gold and black. And then another group of people that came out were dressed in medieval garb, like a jester. There were a few peasants. There was an executioner. And then I saw a clown and a gorilla. So that kind of threw me for a loop. And I'm like, what in the world? And it was completely unexpected. I don't know if that was intentional, but it definitely left me scratching my head. Couple that with a few odd choices in dance steps for this number. The dance steps that I'm talking about were actually taken right out of the 80s, and it looks, no disrespect, but it just looked wrong. And I thought for a moment that maybe the group that was doing it forgot what they were doing and just decided to do that, you know, follow another person's lead and just do it so that way they were doing something, so that way the show can go on. I don't know if that was the way it's choreographed, but it didn't quite mesh well with the rest of the number. The acting was solid musical theater comedy. So many funny, funny bits. There were a couple of times I will have to mention that it was as though the actress playing Dolly, Linda McKee, lost her concentration and focus just a little bit. There were a couple of slip-ups, but she recovered quickly and then went back on moving the show along. The orchestra was phenomenal. They were just outstanding. Roberta Howe did an amazing job of wrangling that ginormous group of musicians and focusing them on just this amazing, amazing quality of work. So my hat is off to her. Good job, Miss Thang. The set's lovely. Lovely. And when the hat shop opened up, I turned to Perry. I was like, it's like the Barbie Dream House. Not that I've ever had a Barbie Dream House, just so as you know. All in all, a very, very fun show, and I highly recommend it. It also closes this weekend, so get out there and see it. You have tonight and you have tomorrow, so you better do it. Because I said so. Because they'll kill me if you don't. Okay, they won't kill me, but it's always nice to go support some fellow thespians.
Dragging on a cigarette.
that song was called Theater, Girl by the Moving Castles. Again, that fun little ditty was provided by the Podsafe Music Network. Now, seeing how we're at the half-hour mark, and I would like to get this on the website in the next 10, 15 minutes, I have to say goodbye to y'all. So what I'll do is I will wait until next week to tell you what I've been watching over at West Valley Light Opera's Breaking Up is Hard to Do rehearsals, and I'll tell you all about my rehearsals for Shakespeare Three Ways that performs at the end of July. So join me next week when I will have an interview with Mr. Ronnie Mishra, who plays Gabriel Green in Breaking Up is Hard to Do. So to all my friends who have shows tonight and the rest of the weekend, or showings, I wish you all to break a leg. And for those of you who are not in shows, but who enjoy them, along with art and poetry and all that other stuff, I beg you, go out and get some art. Also, a little side note, if you happen to be up at San Bruno, tomorrow from 3 to 5, my buddy Sarah, who owns Carrots Cafe up in San Bruno, is going to be having a local artist showing their paintings in her cafe. There'll be some light refreshments served, so come on down, check out the cafe, get some awesome freaking coffee there, and meet a new local artist. How much better can that get? Check the show notes for the address and also the times, and until next week. My name is Jerry, and I am the activist.